Hey guys, it's Tim here. Have you ever struggled with the income you make teaching music? Have you ever felt guilty teaching after school and on weekends and missing out on family dinners and activities during the week? Have you ever wondered if there was a way you could create income that didn't rely on your teaching? Well, I wanted you to be the first to know about a very special series of emails that I've started sharing this week. It's a short 4-part video package called Music Teacher Income Secrets. And in it, I've been unpacking the difficulties many of us face maintaining a sustainable income through private studio teaching. I've already released videos 1 and 2, and next week in the series, I'm going to be offering a solution that I've never shared before and that may be a perfect fit for you. If you haven't been getting these emails or you'd like to catch up on the series, then make sure you sign up now by going to timtopham.com/secrets.
Welcome to the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast, the place where teachers from around the world meet to share innovative ideas about music education. Listen and learn as we help you motivate your students, grow your income, expand your studio, and become a more creative piano teacher.
Welcome back to the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast Season 2, 2019. This is your weekly dose of creative inspiration, fun conversation and teaching tactics for your studio. And today we have a little bit of a different episode because I've brought in two guests today, one of my students and his dad, to talk about the lessons that they're getting, why they chose me, and I'm also going to explore why I don't mind the fact that Tim has another teacher. And why it actually takes a fair bit of pressure off me. So this is a little bit controversial, I know, but bear with me. And I can't wait to introduce you to Tim and Craig in this episode. Today's show notes and full transcript are now available at timtopham.com/episode164. Well, I'm here with my student, Tim, who's in the middle here giggling. Hi, Tim. Say hi.
Hi.
And his dad, Craig.
Hello.
And I'm going to ask him a few questions because this is the first time that I've ever interviewed one of my students on the podcast. And a lot of people have been asking me, hey, Tim, we'd love to hear from one of your students. So, Tim, you have permission to be completely honest when I ask you these questions.
Great.
We just want to kind of find out a little bit about how you came to have lessons with me and what you like and don't like. Sound okay? Cool. All right. So, Tim, you better introduce yourself. Can you tell me how old you are?
I'm 10 years old.
What grade are you at school?
I'm in year 5.
And how many years have you been learning piano for?
About 5 years.
Okay. And what grade are you doing here in Australia?
I'm doing grade 5.
Good. And you're learning any other instruments?
Yeah, I'm learning clarinet and guitar.
Wow. So you're a tri-instrumentalist at the moment, 3 instruments at once.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which one's the favourite?
Definitely piano.
Yeah. Why is it the favourite?
I can, like, do crazy stuff with it. I can just, like, experiment with, like, clarinet. I'm new to it.
Yeah.
I, like, don't really know all the notes yet, so.
Yeah, so when you're a beginner, it's a little bit harder to do those things right at the start, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when did you start learning with me? Or maybe your dad can help. Can you remember how long it's been?
Oh, it's about the end of last year.
Right. Yeah, cool. Yeah, that sounds about right, doesn't it? So about
November last year.
Yeah, so it'll be 4 or 5 months, I guess, at the moment. Now, I mentioned in the introduction, which you won't have heard, that you are actually learning with another teacher at the same time. And this is a little bit controversial in the piano teaching world. This is very unusual. Most teachers would say, you will only learn from me, and that's it. So tell us about your other teacher. What kind of music are you playing, and what's the focus with her?
With my other teacher, I mainly play piano for leisure. And, like, the focus is so I can get ready for my exam, like, to get a good grade, I guess.
Yeah, great. So the focus is more on technique and reading and preparing for your exam?
Yeah.
Yeah, great. And what's our focus been?
Making stuff fun.
And making stuff up?
Yeah.
Yeah, and using a lot of chords. And we'll get to that a little bit more. But maybe, Craig, can you jump in? What are some of the biggest differences you've seen? Because you've sat in on lessons with both of the teachers. What are some of the biggest differences you've seen?
Tim's other teacher, who we love dearly, she's taken both my kids under her wing, and she's worked wonders with them, and they're both flying. But she is what I would call a very traditional piano teacher, the focus is on selecting the pieces for the exam, and then every lesson is spent working on those pieces, and then closer to the exam it's sort of knuckling down on the technical stuff, the scales and the arpeggios, with a focus on the exam, as I said.
Right.
And then coming here, as I'm sure we'll get to, totally different kettle of fish.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. Of course, I'm not going to ask you who you prefer, because that's too hard a question. And actually, not that relevant, I have to say, because obviously we're both focusing on completely different areas. And that's why, as a piano teacher, I actually don't mind having students learn from two different teachers, as long as you're doing completely different things. I think the issue tends to come if you've got two teachers who are both trying to teach the same things, phrasing, skills, technique, arpeggios. So to you, Craig, what's been your music learning journey yourself?
So I've got really fond memories of my childhood music, and pretty similar to what Tim's done, actually. I would jump on my bike once a week and go down to the local piano teacher, and for whatever reason, I never did exams.
Right.
And I don't know whether that was because I was too scared of them. Certainly the concept of doing them was quite anxiety-provoking. Yeah. And I think my mum might have actually struck a deal with the piano teacher that I would keep learning on the proviso that I didn't have to do exams.
Okay. Yep.
And looking back, I really regret that. I reckon exams are a very important part of becoming a good musician.
Mm-hmm.
One of those necessary evils that make you knuckle down. So I really resent not actually doing that.
Right.
And so I guess when it comes to how I parent, I'm very insistent that these guys go through that exam pathway because I know it's good for them in the long run.
Yeah. Okay. And that's really interesting because a lot of my focus is not on exams and allowing kids not to do exams.
Yeah.
So it's actually really useful for me to hear that from a parent.
Yeah.
And I certainly have one of my other students who absolutely blitzes things and works harder than he ever has when an exam's coming up, and he makes huge progress.
Yeah.
Do you do that as well, Tim?
Ava did before she had her exam just then.
Right. Your sister. Mm. Yeah, same thing. Suddenly there's a whole lot of work going on. There's progress being made. Yeah. And I guess it all comes down to having a balance.
Totally. Yeah. Oh, completely. Yeah. Yep.
So why did you or how did you come to look for a new teacher for Tim?
So I stopped having lessons when I was 14 or 15, like something like that.
Yeah, a little bit.
And I didn't touch an instrument for probably 20 years.
Oh, okay.
And then,
were you learning piano at the start?
Yeah. I learned piano, and then for whatever reason, you know, things got busy and I just stopped learning. And then, as I said, I didn't do anything for 20 years. And then I inherited a piano from my father.
All right.
I'd moved out of home and gone through uni and all those sort of things. And my father, who's a beautiful pianist, bought himself a baby grand piano. And so I inherited his upright piano. And I just started tinkering away. And then I found a local teacher when I was probably 30 who taught jazz and blues stuff. And so I started having a few lessons with him. And that was the first time I can honestly say I knew what a chord was.
Right.
I had never heard of a chord. And then when the seventh chords and major sevenths and diminished chords, never heard of them up until that point. And I resented that no one ever taught me that.
Yep.
And I thought that music was a very strict thing, that you had to play it as per the notation on the page and that there was no sort of room for leeway. It was a pretty fixed sort of thing.
Pretty brutal. Yeah.
So I had those lessons and learnt a little bit about chord progressions, etc. And I also subscribed to a website, which, again, you would probably have a coronary looking at it. There's this guy called Sean Cheek. I'm not sure if you've heard of Sean Cheek. He's in Texas, I think, and he's got a website called webpianoteacher.com or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes the music away completely and has the notes, the actual notes written. So chord, he'll have C-E-G written in a vertical form.
Okay.
And he's got thousands of songs and all popular sort of songs, and I just selected a range of those that I quite liked and sort of just worked my way through those over time. And I reckon they sound pretty good. But for me now, my piano is, I call it my Prozac, you know. I just sort of sneak away and put the headphones on, and that's my time. I'm not particularly good, but I really enjoy just tinkering away.
Yeah.
So getting back to your question, realizing that there was so much more fluidity in what you can do on a piano, I thought, why doesn't anyone teach my kids that? And then, don't ask me how, I stumbled upon your podcast.
Right, it was a podcast.
And I listened to it and I thought, my God, that sounds like exactly what I needed and I would love for my kids to have. And then typing into Google, you know, realised that you were here in Melbourne and, in fact, not far away. So shot you an email, including a really cute photo of my kid playing at the market busking.
You did.
Hoping that would get you over the line. Yeah. And here we are.
Yeah. And now you're on the podcast.
That's right.
How cool is that?
Yeah, cycle of life, huh?
Now, we actually, we have a little clip of you playing. Just give us a quick bit of background. How old are you in this clip?
I was 6 years old.
And how did you come to be performing at a cafe at age of six?
Okay, so I was at this cafe in Fitzroy Street and Dad told me, go up there and play the piano.
There was some instrumentalist who was playing during the day, but she was having a break.
So they were having a break and he's like, oh, Timmy, go up, play. And he was like, oh, I'll get you an ice cream and I'll get you this AFL board game. And I'm like,
okay. AFL is our footy code in Australia, for those of you overseas.
Like, yeah, sure.
So a couple of bribes.
Yeah. Ice cream works wonders.
And I went up, I played Riptide and sung, and then
got a big applause at the end.
And it was huge, yeah. And you were literally, you could barely see over the piano, and you sang along as well, chords and singing.
Yeah. And then just recently I found out that I would have got ice cream anyway.
Music Staff is the easiest and most efficient way to run your music teaching business. This complete business-in-a-box solution has it all. I've even written a blog post on how I personally used My Music Staff to transition to automatic monthly payments. All my students now receive a monthly automatic invoice and their credit cards are charged instantly. It couldn't be easier. From a single teacher studio to multi-teacher schools, it has you covered. It will help you effortlessly manage your students, scheduling, billing, and more. It works on any device, so you're always well-informed and in control of your business, even on the go. My Music Staff will allow you to focus more on your clients instead of being consumed by overwhelming and time-consuming administrative tasks. My Music Staff can also be used as a tool to connect your students and parents outside of their weekly lesson. Not only does it allow students to notify you of any upcoming absences and even reschedule missed lessons, it's also a great way to keep your students engaged and learning outside of their time with you. You can leave lesson notes to guide their practice, assign new repertoire, and even upload content like video tutorials, audio, sheet music, and more. This immersive tool is a great addition to any studio looking to improve their business and set themselves apart from the competition. Use My Music Staff to add additional value to your lessons and help you stand out from the crowd. There's no better time to try it for yourself. Just go to mymusicstaff.com and sign up for their free 30-day trial. It's the perfect tool to navigate your studio through the busy back-to-school season.
All right, so Craig, did you have any concerns about me or sending your son to a new teacher who maybe pushed the boundaries a little bit? before you came here?
No, I had no reservations. In fact, the thing that I was most worried about was breaking the news to the other teacher
that
we were sort of going to be using somebody else or trying out with somebody else. So I put the phone call through, and she was fantastic. She said, absolutely. You know, she said, I feel comfortable teaching what I'm teaching, and Tim, he's got the personality where he should be playing, improvising and experimenting. You know, that's him. So she had no issues with it whatsoever.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Well, there you go. So it just goes to show it does work, this idea of two teachers, if as I said earlier, you're doing different things. So back to you, Tim. What are the biggest differences in my lessons compared to your other teacher? Can you give us like three things?
So with my other teacher, it was more like predictable. So it's like you get your pieces, you learn them, then you learn all the technical stuff, then you have your exam.
Right.
And then you just repeat that for
a while. However many years you're doing it, yeah.
And then with you, I find that it's like we work on the same stuff like for a bit, but then we also do new stuff. So it's more like kind of unpredictable, I would say.
Yeah.
Like.
Does that make it a bit harder? Like, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a good thing. Like, okay. I need to learn new stuff, so it's kind of good.
Yeah. Anything else? Any other big differences you can think of?
Well, like Dad said, she teaches more like classical.
Right.
More like old pieces, like Farrelly. She'll teach Mozart, other famous.
Well, you're not doing the Pink Panther at the moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's a little bit more traditional, the repertoire and then that she chooses. Yeah.
You like mix it up, like more like modern and classical.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, in fact, today we were doing a bit of Eine Kleine Nacht music, but with a lead sheet. And you brought in some Queen as well, which we might have to get you to play just before we finish the interview because it's sounding so good. Maybe we could play it together. Would you like that?
Yeah.
Show everyone. Yeah. Beautiful. And Craig, I mean, you've seen a number of my lessons. What are there any things that you could see are quite difficult for Tim that he might come to you during the week and go, but he doesn't tell me about?
No. In fact, he surprises me how quickly he's pick this stuff up. I love the variety. I love the fact that you get him singing. Probably most of the lessons you get him singing. As much as he hates it, I know it's good for him. The first couple of lessons, you're doing lots of improvising, stuff that I'd never seen before, and I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, cool.
Keen to sort of push that a bit further as well.
Yep.
And I guess I love when you two jam it out, both playing a piano each. It sounds fantastic.
Yeah, that's probably one of the things I most enjoy about our lessons as well. It's really good fun. Brilliant. So what are your hopes for Craig? What are your hopes for Tim in the future with his music? Why are you going? You're paying for double lessons.
Yeah.
You're driving him to lots
that's
of
right.
different places. He's learning three instruments.
I don't know. I parent like I wish I had been parented, you know, and that is sort of almost being pushed
right
to a certain extent, you know, and I know kids are, they have this neuronal plasticity, you know, they're good learners, and chuck as much at them early as you can is sort of one of the strategies I have as a parent. He's already done great things. His music's taken him a fair way. He played Over the Rainbow at his grandfather's funeral, which I was really proud of.
Yeah,
and every couple of weeks he heads down to the local market with his keyboard.
And makes some good money too, don't you?
Yeah. Nothing makes old people reach for their wallet like a cute kid at a keyboard. So that's been really good. And, you know, he's actually been able to work out what's important to him. He's made a few donations from his charities. From his busking.
Yeah.
Giving money to charity. So his music's been a good thing. And as for the future, I don't have any plans, whatever. I just hope that music's a big part of his life in whatever way, shape or form it ends up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what about you, Tim? Have you got any big dreams of being the next Queen or Elton John, or are you happy to just kind of take it easy, do your own thing?
I want to play music when I'm older, but like not really professionally.
Okay.
I would say I kind of want to be like a sports star.
Yeah? What sport? Ideally.
Golf, probably.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, cool. And then having music. You want to have music in your life.
Yeah.
But like, not to be your profession, not like to be a job.
Dad, he plays golf and he does piano.
I'm not a professional. I wish I was.
Yeah. You've got a lot of patience, guys, that's for sure. All right, last couple of questions. To Craig first. What advice would you give teachers who are listening? We've got a big audience of teachers. Some traditional, some more creative anyway. What advice would you give to them about these differences you've seen in these two teaching approaches and the outcomes that they've given Tim?
I think obviously you've got to do what you're comfortable doing, but I think just using that traditional technique that we've described, you're just leaving so much out there untouched.
Mm.
It's like, I don't know, it's just like only tying up one shoelace. You know, there's so much more that you can do.
Yeah.
And it all complements. It all adds in, you know, knowing, just learning the chords. You can see in going back to that classical approach, having a knowledge of what those chords are and incorporating that teaching into the classical teaching can only be of assistance. And it makes it fun. Tim will go home tonight and he'll go over some of the stuff that we've done in your lesson today, I can guarantee it.
Yeah.
He really enjoys it.
Yeah, that's great. And what about you, Tim? Have you got any it's not often that we give a – how old are you again? 10?
10.
10. Not often that you give a 10-year-old the chance to give advice to people, adults, but – do you have any advice to teachers who are listening about how they go about teaching?
I would say maybe, like, if there's a song that they really want to do, you can let them do it. Like, with my teacher, I really wanted to do Axel F, but, like, she hates. She doesn't really like it. So I would say, like, maybe if they want to do something, you can let them do it instead of, like, making them choose only more classical pieces, I would say.
Brilliant. Yeah, it's a great piece of advice. I really like it. My own teacher, one of the reasons I teach like I do, used to do that as well. I can still remember some of the random tunes I brought in that she helped me learn.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, good bit of advice, Tim. I like it. So anything else to finish up that we haven't covered that you've thought of since I mentioned I was going to be speaking to you guys, you or your dad?
Nope, nothing's all for me.
Beautiful.
No, thank you, Timo.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, I reckon we should jump on the piano and just give everyone a quick rendition of Don't Stop Me Now. What do you think? That'd be fun. Are you going to sing?
No.
Yes.
No. Yeah. No.
All right, cool. All of that you learned from chords on a lead sheet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, how much fun is it? Beautiful. Congratulations.
Well, I hope you enjoyed today's interview with Tim and Craig. It was so much fun hanging out with them and lovely to hear the kinds of reasons behind them seeking me out as a teacher. And I hope if you're at all unsure about where you actually sit in the marketing mix for your style of teaching, that this gives you some ideas of how you can differentiate yourself. And also, I hope that for those of you who teach students with more than one teacher, so you might be a second teacher, or students come to you and they want to keep their old teacher, then have a bit of a think about whether that could actually work for you. It works brilliantly for me. I love that I only have to work with Tim on the fun stuff, the chords, the progressions, the lead sheet playing. It's the stuff that I'm most passionate about and is my strongest suit anyway. It just suits me brilliantly that I can work on that and he can work on the other stuff with a different teacher. So best of both worlds for me. And I hope that if that opportunity ever arises for you, that you might consider it as an opportunity that could work for you too. Next week on the podcast, another bit of an unusual episode. We're going to be talking all about the Piano Pivot Live. Now, I know you've heard in my introductions that this event is coming. It's coming to Melbourne, January 23rd and 24th in 2020. And in the next episode, I'm going to be hanging out with Nicola Canton, who is coming all the way over from Ireland to speak at our event. And we're going to unpack just why this event is going to be so cool. There are so many different things we're doing. There's an amazing location. And of course, there's now an excuse for you to come and hang out in Melbourne, Australia, in the summertime, which is the most beautiful time of the year, and also when the Australian Open is on. So if you're listening and you're a tennis player and also a piano teacher, then this is the perfect opportunity to come to Melbourne. So I can't wait to explore it with you and Nicola next week. Until then, I'm Tim Topham, and this is the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Now, just before you go, if you enjoyed today's show, I'd love for you to check out my Inner Circle Piano Teaching Community. It's the go-to resource for piano teachers looking to continue their professional development, connect with other teachers and experts from around the world, and to access hundreds of world-class training resources, including our academy courses, lesson plans, teaching videos, technology help, and much more. Whether you're just starting out or have been working hard to build your studio for a while, the Inner Circle community will give you the skills, support, and confidence you need to grow the studio of your dreams. Whether that's about teaching a small number of students one-on-one in your home or hiring a commercial space, employing other teachers, and building an entire music teaching empire. With courses on both the teaching and business side of running your studio, live coaching, and our thriving community forums, you can get quick answers to questions, set yourself challenges, get feedback on your ideas, and feel confident teaching in new and exciting ways. For more information on how to join us inside the Inner Circle today, head over to timtopham.com/community, and we'll see you on the inside.
That will conclude this evening's entertainment.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast. We'd love to help take your teaching to the next level as a member of our supportive community. Use the coupon PIANOPODCAST for $100 off an annual membership of Tim's Inner Circle today. To find out more, head to timtopham.com/community.